Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you. Live your life in the reality of His power and be all His Word says you can be.
Everything he did because he loved. Everything he did because he loved. Every price he paid because he loved. Now the Bible says that Jesus despised the shame. Do you understand what I'm saying? He set before his face a joy. For that purpose, he was able to bear the pain. Are you following my point? Are you following me this morning, this evening? Church, answer me now. Okay, I need to know you're following me because you may be sitting down there looking straight at me and be somewhere far away in some moimoi joint in Wusetu. Trust me. The only way I can be sure you're here is that when I speak like that, you speak back. All right, the mind can be anywhere. The Bible says, "Who for the joy that was set before him, was able to bear the pain. Who for the joy that was set before him was able to go through the shame of the cross." The cross was a shameful thing. Jesus was stripped naked, bare naked, on the cross as he laid his life down for us. The Bible says he did all that because of the joy that was set before him. I want to announce to you this evening that the joy that was set before Jesus was not to have a name that's above every other name. Because he was already God before he was made flesh. The Bible says, "For the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh." Jesus coming to the earth is like declining or coming down from where he was. So there was nothing that Jesus wanted that he didn't already have. It was not because he wanted some form of crown or some form of authority over the earth. That was why he went through all that pain and all that shame. The only reason Jesus did what he did was that he has set before himself a joy. What is that joy? The joy he saw that day is that he saw you and I safe, finally, from the grip and the holdings of sin and sickness and disease. He saw you being able to walk towards the Father without any fear, any condemnation, any accusation. Jesus saw you being able to call God, who is his own Father, able to call God your Father. That was the joy that he set before him. Everything was driven by that joy. He loved us so much, he laid his life down for us. So the issue about the burden for the lost must start from the heart. There's no amount of teaching that I could teach if it doesn't start a fire in your heart. You would preach the gospel, but you will preach it because of obligation. You will preach the gospel, but you will preach it to score some form of record with God. It takes the heart. The first thing God wants to do in your life, you guys can go sit down, leave the keyboard. The first thing God wants to do in your heart or in your life is to give you a heart and passion for the lost. In Proverbs 23 verse 26, I've quoted that scripture over and over. It says, "My son, give me your heart." My son, give me your heart. Matthew chapter 6 verse 21, it says, "For where a man's treasure is, there his heart will be also." Where a man's treasure is, there his heart. Mark chapter 6 verse 21. A man's heart will follow his treasure. A man's treasure will follow his heart. The way to know what a man has a heart for is to look at what his treasure is going to. "Give me your heart," he says. God doesn't want us to do anything that is not done with the heart. In Jeremiah 12, verse 2, 17, verse 2, he says, "These people praise me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." God doesn't want the worship that comes from our lips, but doesn't reach our heart. He detests anything that doesn't come from the heart. So if all we do in this season is just so that we're able to meet some form of score, it's not a heart for it, God doesn't want that kind of service. In Genesis chapter 4, when Cain and Abel brought their sacrifice to God, we were taught in school, in those days in Sunday school, that one of the reasons why God rejected the sacrifice of Cain was that what? What did they tell you? He brought rotten food. The food was not good at all. That's what they told you. What did they tell you? Eh? He didn't sprinkle blood on it. Okay, there's no, it's that God likes blood. There was no blood. Who else had something different? It was unripe. Abi? Yama yama things. Who else had something different? Eh? So, yes! They said it was small. I remember. They said it was not plenty. It was not plenty. Can we go to Genesis chapter 4? Let's check scriptures together. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 together. Okay. Verse 4. Let's start from verse 3. "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought off the fruit of the ground and offered to the Lord. And Abel, he also brought off the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had..." Are you there? What does the Bible say? "The Lord had respect unto Abel." And so we see that the first thing that God had respect for was Abel. Before God checks what is in your hands, he checks you. If God has not accepted you, he will not accept anything from you. If God has not accepted you, he will not accept anything from you. If you look at the next verse, what does it say? Help me. "But unto Cain..."
"And to his offering..."
"And to his offering..."
"He had no respect."
"Unto Cain first." "Unto Cain first." There are people who think they can bribe God with offerings. Or bribe God with tithes. Help me with this vow. The Bible says, "Unto Cain and unto his offering the Lord had no respect." All right? The Bible says, "And his countenance was wrought, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto him, Cain, why art thou wrought, and why is thy countenance fallen? Verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou..." You see, it's not his offering. You see that?
Yes, sir.
Who was God talking about? "Shalt thou not be accepted? If you have done well, will you not be accepted?" God is not deceived by how much work we do in his house when we ourselves have not become a sacrifice to him. The first thing God wants is you before your song, you before your offering, you before your skill, you before your service. He says, "Give me your heart." He didn't say, "Give me your skill." Your skill will follow anywhere your heart follows. Now, when we started our church, there were people who were coming to our church and they were giving us troubles. They could play the keyboard and they gave us a lot of trouble. One day I was in Akwa Ibom. I said they should pack the keyboard and pack the drums. That Paul the Apostle had no keyboard and had no drums because they gave us trouble. They were coming to give their skill for the work, but their heart was not there. Are you following my point? So people can give their skill. Bible says these people worship me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Then we're suffering like that for a long while. Then one day Dara came. Dara, you know Dara now. That guy in Lagos now, our prayer leader. We are paying those guys money to come to church, and they still frustrated us. Then one day Dara came. I was not in church that day. That was when I went to Akwa Ibom for my brother's wedding. And Dada did not only play, he played beautifully that day, and he dropped a seed of 100,000. We're paying this guy maybe 5,000 or something per time or something. I can't remember. I started crying. Not because I've not seen 100,000 before, but I say, I have suffered. That's why there's someone that can play and still pay. Because his heart. You see, your skill, your money, a man that has your heart will not beg you for anything. Will not beg you for anything. God said, if you have done well, you know, he says, and if thou dwellest well, sin lieth at the door, and not unto thee shall be his desire. Thou shalt rule over him. Verse 8.
And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass. When they were in the field. That Cain rose up against Abel his
Cain
brother.
And
slew
and
him.
Cain slew his brother. So we now know why his offering was not accepted. Because God was seeing his heart. There was murder. There was jealousy. There was envy. There was bitterness. There was competition. And people are coming to church and can be competing with each other. All that in his heart. He couldn't accept it. And I used to ask this question all the time. That some of us have very favorite, what's your favorite restaurant? You don't have a favorite restaurant. What's your favorite restaurant? Baobab. Not very interesting. What's the very reason? I'd have asked Yemi, but I can't ask him. SD, what's the very interesting? You don't have. Who has your favorite restaurant? Chinua, what's your favorite restaurant? Eh? Hands. Bite by hands. Hands. Now, if, because that one said is looking posh. Hands. Let's assume that it's one of all these Amala joints that you love. Anytime you go there, the aroma of the food steers you up. Even if you're not hungry before, you want to eat. And they bring food to you every day. But maybe one day, just one day, you had the opportunity to enter the place where they were cooking the food. And you now saw that they were actually using their leg to make the amala. Or make the palm kernel for the palm oil, for the egusi. And you saw that somebody had even poop just very close by. Now, if you just see that, then I say, customer, go and sit down, your food is coming. You know that when you go back to sit down, you will say, even though the food has not changed, the aroma has not changed, but you now have a knowledge of the state of the place the worship is coming from. So God's knowledge of the state of the heart where this service is coming from makes the service unacceptable. Are you following my point this evening? So he says, my son, give me your heart. God wants us to start always with the heart. It's going to help you today to have a passion for the lost. It must be first a heart for the lost. A passion for the lost. If the passion is not there, like I said to Peter, he says, if you love me, then feed my sheep. If you love me, if you don't love me, leave my sheep. Don't feed my sheep because you love the art of feeding. Don't feed my sheep because you love the sheep. Feed my sheep because you love me. In Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet saw. So God starts us up with him, with a burden. He gives us a burden. Every time he gets you on something, it starts with a burden in your heart. It starts with a burden. So it gives you a burden for the lost. When you see someone that is going to hell, there's something panting in your heart for him. If nothing is panting in your heart, then nothing is there. Are you following my point? You can go out and let's preach. We are from this, our tribe. We are going out to preach, you know, just to do these things. I don't say we're not doing. We don't want problem with the coordinators. Or maybe even you are saying you are counting numbers. If you do all that and you don't have a heart for the lost, it will not be powerful. Burden. Everything God does is a burden. He leaves us always with a burden. He said in Matthew, say, come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you. He says, learn of me, for I'm gentle and meek, and then you'll find rest for your souls. He says, take my body, and I'll put my yoke on. You see, for my burden is light, and my yoke is easy. So he says, it takes a burden from you, but replaces it with another burden. He always gives you a burden. I say it takes from you the burden of powerlessness against sin and gives you restlessness, a burden of restlessness for righteousness. So one way or the other, you are always panting after something. Always panting after something. How do I develop a burden for the Lord? Number one, pray for it. Pray for a burden. Pray for the burden for the lost. Pray for a body. A burden is important. I used to say a life, the heaviest burden in life is having nothing to bear. Having nothing to carry. Some people wake up in the morning, they are tired. They are already tired because there's nothing to pursue. Life, an empty life is very heavy. An empty life, a life of vacuum, emptiness is heavy. Emptiness can lead to depression, heavy depression. Emptiness can lead to death, can lead to suicide. Emptiness, a feeling of emptiness is the heaviest kind of feeling. When something is empty and heavy, it is full of emptiness. Are you following my point? Pray for it. We used to pray in those that God will give us passion for the lost. There's a whole book that says Passion for the Lost. To see people who are going to hell and have something born in your heart. Pastor Nietzsche said there was one time Renabonki came to Nigeria and he went to meet him and brought him to an hotel and he was praying and Renabonki was going to say, please pray for me. So Renabonki looked at him and said, look, let me pray for you. He said, Father, whatever kept Jesus on the cross, whatever was on the heart of Jesus that kept him on the cross, that kept him nailed on that cross for the tower, he said, give this young man a portion of it. It's just a portion that his heart will be aflame for the lost. And anywhere he sees the lost, his heart will burn for them. So number one, pray for it. Number two, you must have a firm understanding of the true nature of God. A firm understanding of the true nature of God. One is to pray for it. Number two is to have a firm understanding of the true nature of God. How is God? That's why I sang that song. He left the 99 to pursue one. That's God. That's God. He left the 99. A true nature, an understanding of the true nature of God will help you minister the gospel in a way that can save. Some people evangelize, but their evangelism is insult. It's like they want to very brutal. There's a guy in Area 10. I see him all the time I go there. Very brutal. Nobody can accept Jesus like that. He stands there and insults everybody. He stands there and say all kinds of stuff. There's another guy you see on the internet that says fire will damage your bonbon. Fire, you know. So people are just brutal. The gospel is good news. If it is not good news, it's not the gospel. Are you following my point? If it is not good news, the gospel is good news. What it means is that preaching that people will go to hell if they don't accept Jesus is not the gospel. But preaching that people can escape hell and receive life by accepting Jesus is the gospel. The emphasis is in the fact that it's good news. John the Baptist came and preached, repent or thou will likewise perish. Repent or you will perish is not good news. Repent for the kingdom of God is near is good news. So Jesus Christ came and started preaching, repent for the kingdom of God. God is near. There's now an opportunity for you to walk with God. What are you in the hands of sin? What are you in the hands of Satan? When there's God, there's a door open up before you. The kingdom of God has arrived. Repent for the kingdom of God has arrived. And men and women can now embrace life and escape death by accepting Jesus. a true nature of God. Religion is worse than sin. Religion, worse than sin. Sin keeps you away from God while you are unsaved. Religion keeps you away from God even though you are saved. Religion paints a picture of a wrong God to you. Religion, the entire of the Old Testament is very powerful, but must be read through the lens of the new. Follow me closely. I preached a sermon about 2 years ago, Old versus the New. Please look for that sermon. I preached during COVID-19. Old, and I juxtaposed the Old Testament and the New Testament. I did a thorough juxtaposition of both sections of the scriptures, and I explained why it was the fault in the old that necessitated the new. The Bible says if the old was perfect, then there would be no need for a New Testament. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament, but the Old Testament presents God in a false way. And that's why if you want to curse somebody, you have to look for scriptures from the Old Testament. There is no curse in the New Testament. If I want to curse you, I must look for scriptures from the Old Testament. Show me a curse in the New Testament. If I want to strike you with leprosy, I must look for scriptures for you from the Old Testament. And that's why those false prophets live in the book of Isaiah. They live in the book of Psalms. Because from there, you can cook curses and incantations and put it on people. All the prophets of the Old Testament did their best to explain God in the way they could, but through the lenses of their temperaments. I explain that all the time. That if you look at Moses, Moses was a prophet. Moses said to stone a woman who's caught in adultery, or a man who's caught in adultery. That's what Moses said. But Jesus said when they brought a woman to him, he said, let him without sin cast the first stone. And Jesus is the express image of God. What Jesus says is what God said. If you want to know God, look at Jesus. Bible calls him the visible image of the invisible God. Jesus is the God that can be seen. Are you following my point? For the word became tangible when it became flesh. Word was God. Jesus was word. Jesus is God made flesh. Jesus is the only one that can be touched. Pastor, for we have not an high priest that cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He's the only one that can be touched. He's the only one that can be seen. So anything Jesus says, Jesus says in John chapter 10 verse 10, I and the Father are one. He said in John chapter 14 verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He said to Philip, Philip, have you been with me so long and you have not known the Father? For he that has seen me has seen the Father. So a firm understanding of the true nature of God, that God is not out to destroy, is key in developing passion for the lost. Look through scriptures. All of them. Elijah was a fiery man of God. Do you know that the Bible didn't say anywhere that God told Elijah to call down fire? Nowhere. Not on Mount Carmel and not on the prophets, not on the captain and their 50. When God spoke to Elijah, he says, go up and see Ahab, for I will send rain on the earth. God said, go, I will send rain on the earth. Elijah went there and called down fire and killed all the prophets of Baal. And then he was on the mountain one day and the king sent for him. And they said, man of God, come down. And he says, if I be a man of God, let fire come down and burn thee and thy 50. And fire came down and burned all of them. Then second time he did it again. Third time he did it again. Fourth time he did it again. Then the last one came and began to plead and to beg him. And an angel came and said, please, go down. So in the book of John chapter 9, when the Samaritans rejected Jesus, John and James, the sons of Zebedee, they call them sons of thunder. They say, let us call them fire and burn them all. Jesus says, you know not the kind of spirit that is within you. You know that kind of spirit within you. So if Jesus was on that mountain, he would have rebuked Elijah for calling them. You cannot kill in the name of Jesus. You cannot kill in the name of Jesus. You cannot kill in the name of Jesus. People can die, but you cannot kill. I kill you in the name of Jesus. He says, I'm the truth. I'm the life. I'm the resurrection. You cannot kill in the name of life. He that is resurrection and life is not to kill. And that's what people have said, hey, God goes okay, but God killed Ananias and Sapphira. Show me how God killed them. How is that a pattern? How can something happen once in the entire scripture? Once. Happened once, never happened again. Not in any church, not in any time. Not again. It never happened anymore. So that is already a clear implication that it is not a pattern. Are you following my point? And that was not God's system. And if Peter was the one that told Sapphira that people that bury your husband just came now. They are going to go and bury you too. It was the one that did that. It was Peter that killed those guys. I'll show you by scripture. It was Peter that killed this guy. We know how that Herod was smote by an angel. But who smote? Because those guys were saved. Ananias and Sapphira were Christians. They were in the church. People said, and they fear. So there are people now, because people like death. People like drama. They like, and that was why the God of the Old Testament, even though it's the God of the New, the same, but there was more expression of God's power in the Old, but more expression of His love in the New. So you have more miracles in the Old, but more healings in the New. Are you following my point? So, but because people like, that's how to know a man that has power. How many people can he kill? How many people can he destroy? How many? So, you know, people are very prone to destruction, things scattering, but not to building and to planting. Understand the true nature of God will let you know that this fellow that is going now can embrace life and their lives can change. It's very key. So, a lot of Christians don't even know who God is. And I don't blame us. You know, we grew up like that. They taught us many things about God. They taught us that God was this, God was that. Most of the things they taught us about God is not true. It's not true. You cannot know God outside the New Testament. None of those Old Testament prophets knew God. None of them. Absolutely none of them. They knew about God. They had a portion of, you know, of His revelation. But none of them knew Him. Jesus Christ said, nobody knows the Father. I came from Him. I. Nobody else. So if you want to know God now, you don't look at Elijah. If you want to know God, don't look at Moses. There are people who build their entire ministry on a prophet in the Old Testament. The entire expression of the ministry. The God in that church is the God of Elijah. The God in this church is the God of Moses. God of Nahum. Are you following my point? And if you look at how it is, a lot of those people don't even understand what they were doing. Look at the Old Testament. Even the prophecies about Jesus was not clear to nobody understood what they were saying. If you look at Isaiah 53 and Isaiah 54, Isaiah just got up one morning and began to prophesy. Oh, His servant, for our sins he was beaten, our transgression He was chastised. Ah, our righteousness was laid on Him. For by His stripes we are healed. People say, who is that? He just started talking. That's how they talk. He just talk like that. Same thing with David. David woke up one day in Psalm 22. My God, has that forsaken me? All my bones are out. They pierce me. They pierce me hands and foot. They look upon me whom they have pierced. He that I'm eating with has raised his heel against me. People say, who are you talking about? Are you mad? So God had pockets of prophecies from the mouth of those guys. His code, encrypted conversations from the mouth of those guys. And it's in Jesus that everything came together and now made sense that this was what God was saying. So it's key to have a strong and true revelation of the nature of God. Number three is to have a firm understanding of the urgency of this task. And that's why today's sermon, Anakazu, is key. There's an urgency of this task. We can't raise a generation of monks and nuns, people who lock themselves up and enjoy worship while the entire world dies in destruction. It's very key for us to understand that there's an urgency in this task. I said in the first day of our meeting that the man you see today, you may not see anymore. And there are people who have died. You know, I was reading a news yesterday about a businessman. He's in Anambra or Port Harcourt, that a container fell on Abia State. And died. He was going to the airport. I think it's a Port Harcourt. He was going to the airport. Just driving, and Fontana fell on his car, killed him. There's an urgency in that task. There's urgency in the task. So I said, pray for the passion for the lost. Understand firmly the true nature of God. Then understand the urgency of this task. It's so critical for us to know that this is an emergency. It is an emergency. And God wants us to bear fruits. He wants us to bear fruits. When he came in the book of John and he had a problem with the fig tree, his problem with the fig tree was not that the fig tree was not growing. Jesus' problem with the fig tree is that the fig tree was growing but had no fruits. Now, some of us may be priding ourselves that we are growing in the Lord. We had stuff. I'm growing. I'm better the way I am now than I was before. We might be stirring up ourselves like that, but we are not bearing fruits unto Christ. Are you following my point? So God was not happy with that tree because even though it was growing, are you following my point? It had no fruits. Fruit is what gives value to your growth. What is the beauty of an orange tree that has so many leaves and has grown so big but has no oranges? Trees are called after their fruits. Orange tree. Mango tree. Are you following my point? What other tree do we have again? Eh? What? Apple tree. Guava. So what puts a value on that tree? Are you following my point? Is the fruit. Imagine an orange tree that has no fruit. What kind of tree is that? It has no name. It has no name. It has no name. What puts value on your growth as a believer is that you are able to bear fruits unto God. And that when it comes to your tree, it looks up and it found fruit. When it came in that book, John chapter 6, and he found no fruit, he told the garden keeper, he said, let us cut off this tree. But the tree is growing. The growth of a tree is not the excuse for the barrenness for the tree. So we have people in church who are deeply rooted in the church. Deeply rooted. But I have no, you can't point to a fruit. He said, I have ordained you. John chapter 14, verse 15. I have ordained you. I sent you that you bear fruits and that your fruits may abide. That your fruits may abide. What's anakazo? Anakazo is compelling power. Compelling. In Luke chapter 14, the master had planned a particular party and he has sent, if you look at from verse 16, Luke chapter 14, from verse 16, help me please. Luke 14, verse 16, what does it say?
Then said he unto him,
yes,
a certain man made a great supper,
yes,
and bade many,
yes,
and sent his servant at supper time to say to them,
yes,
that they were bidden,
yes,
come, for all things are now ready,
yes,
and they all
come, for how many things are ready?
All things.
That's the message. All things are ready. Healing is ready. Salvation is ready. Grace is available. All things are ready. Yes. Continue. What to say next?
And they all with one consent began to make excuse.
Yes.
The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it.
So, this is why this person cannot enter the kingdom. He has bought land. He has bought land and he needs to go and check it. Why do people go and check in land? So, because he wants to go and check then whether the land is still there, he misses. All right, what does it say next?
I pray thee, have me excused.
Yes.
And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen,
mm-hmm,
and I go to prove them.
Mm-hmm.
I pray thee, have me excused.
So you see, when Jesus Christ said it's difficult for people who has trust in riches to enter in the kingdom, it's not because he was against riches. People who are willing to exchange their salvation will every day pick work over God. We every day pick money. Somebody asked a very stupid question. He said, $10 trillion or dinner with Jesus? Stupid questionnaire. Everyone that answers stupid answerers. So people now want to say, somebody say, after all, this is Jesus now. You know, people say, oh, so how would you measure Jesus with dollars? And there are people today who are not in church, who can't be in church because of Money. Money. You have to pursue money. You have to pursue money. That's Satan's game. That's the purpose of poverty. Purpose of poverty is to keep you always pursuing money. You never have place in your heart. You know, I was preaching in the church last week. I said, the Bible says, my cities are true prosperity spread abroad. That prosperity, you buy time. You see that? You buy time with prosperity. You can sit down at home and say, today I want to spend time to worship God. I want to spend time. Because God has blessed you to a level. You get my point? So you're able to sit back. You have a system already running that is bringing income, and you can take out time to have time for your maker. That kind of thing, Satan doesn't want you to have it. He wants you running from pillar to post, pursuing money all the time. And poverty is not godly. Are you following my point? The purpose of money, the purpose of wealth, is to fill the heart with the prosperity and with the love and the gospel of Jesus. That's the purpose of prosperity. Prosperity should open you up to God. I have done retreat on mountain, and I've done retreat in hotel. I've done retreats before in a place, and I suffer body pain. I did retreat there. I went there for 3 days, and for 1 month, I didn't get myself because of the hardness of the ground. Are you following my point? Something is making me feel that God in that place is stronger than a God in an AC chilled room. And that the way the angels are so used to suffering, they are going to come to meet me more, that I must suffer. I must suffer bodily. You understand what I'm saying? Before I can enjoy a flow of God's Spirit. So Satan can keep you in that mindset or keep you running after money all the time. And God wants to bless you and prosper. He says, look, I bought a land, I bought oxen, and there are many reasons today that people cannot come to the Christ. Some people, the reason why they cannot come to Christ is that the oxen they have is a corrupt oxen. They are into Yahoo. The only reason why they cannot follow Jesus is that sometimes if you leave this Yahoo you are doing, you are going to starve. So Satan keeps them tied to sin because of fear of poverty. The reason why some people are not following Jesus is that they are afraid. They have been poor before, and they are afraid of being poor again. I'm telling the truth. There's a picture that this Jesus, I would rather pick oxen that I can see. And this man says, come, all things are ready. All things are ready. All things are ready. Say, I beg. Let me pursue this one first. A bird in hand is worth three in the forest. So Satan keeps them running. I see them all the time. I see them every day. And they are believers like that too. Why they can't give God their all? Because of money. Say, pastor, you have to also. Now you have also. And what have you gathered? What have you gathered? You have left God. You have abandoned. He said, my people, they abandoned the fountain of water. And they built for themselves cisterns, wells. They built containers with holes. What have you gathered? You rush everywhere. You did nothing. You did not give God a space like this to serve him with your heart. Nothing came from you to God. You pursue everywhere. What? He says, you gather and I blow upon it. He says, you made money and put it in pockets of holes. I bought land, bought oxen, do this. After it's like they run around. It's sad. It's a satanic Babylonian system that people will not be able to come to church because of work. One of my friends is a drummer. Some of you guys might know him. And he was doing contracts. Plays drums for his church. I don't want to mention the name of church. Love us might know the name of church. And then he was playing drums, and I think somebody, his phone rang, somebody called him. I think I heard the story that Dangote was to supply some amount of material somewhere, and they needed him, and they heard that he was into contract, and I don't know how his number got to the, he's not Dangote person, but I think it's maybe his company or his procurement manager or something. Someone must have introduced him to him, and so they now called him, and he was playing drums. They say, they say they want contract, come on. Guys, I say, I'm playing drums. They should, if they cannot cut it, I'm playing drums. If they cannot, let them give another person. And the person on the other line heard that there are people that will choose God over contracts. And said, let him finish playing his drums. When it's done, we will give him. And so you see Muslims, when it's time for their prayers, they roll their carpets. You know what I say? Those people, they are Israelites. They don't know God. We know God. You see, wealthy Muslims. I was wondering in Asoko, well, they came out from a Benz, solid sweet car, put their mat on the floor, on the third road, came down from their car, and they were praying to their God. And something smote me. That you, with all your depth of knowledge, you know, you don't want to embarrass your clients. When it's time for prayer, 12 noon prayer, can I say, please, it's time for prayer? 12 noon, prayer watch. Cannot tell your client, please, it's time for prayer. They will tell you that it's time for prayer. They will tell you. Anything you cannot wait, you go and die with it. You enter offices like this and you won't see them. They're going to pray. And we all know, all of us have come to accept them like that. We sit down and wait for them. Is that not the truth? It's true, now. It's truth. But yet, we are the children of Isaac. We are the ones that really know God. I was driving around Metama. You know, they found a way to equalize this thing. I was driving around Metama and I saw a pure water seller. It was time for his prayer. And he had a nylon of the bag of the pure water. That was all he had. And he put it on the covert. Right there in the covert. Face the east. And bowed down his head. And worshiped his maker. They don't have knowledge. They don't know much. We know much. And you see, our depth of knowledge has become the source of our arrogance. Because we know much, we have become more foolish. We have become more arrogant. He said, I bought oxen. I bought land. I cannot come. What does it mean? Help me.
And another said,
yes.
I have married a wife.
Yes.
And therefore, I cannot come.
So, this is romance. The reason why some people cannot serve God is because they are into romance. And they have chosen their spouse over God. Are you following my point? They have chosen their wife, chosen their husband. God came and spoke to you and gave you a vision and gave you a passion. And now you cannot do any of it again because you now have husband or you now have wife. No, there are people now, their entire life, you know, when somebody marries, my expectation of them drops to zero. I'll explain. If there's a brother in church that is very vibrant, doing so many things, when he marries, I bring it to zero by default, just to save myself from heartache. Because I don't know what they have married. Are you following my point? There are people who were very vibrant in the work of God before until they got married. Are you following my point? That's all, that was all God, that the Satan had to do. Give them, so they marry them. Somebody, God was telling him, I'm going to do this with your life, I'm going to do that with your life, I'm going to do this with your life. And as she was doing all that, somebody just gave her a call from Canada. Canada call. Hello, I saw your picture on Instagram and let's just hook up. And the person was ready for marriage. And all the dreams, all the visions, all the prophecy cancelled because of Canada husband. What did Satan do? Satan does not need to confront you. You don't know Satan. Satan is a master negotiator. He is not a warrior angel. Satan is not a fight. You know that Satan is singing in heaven. That was what he was doing. How to manipulate chords, manipulate music. He was not a fighter like Michael. So if Satan comes at you, it doesn't come with war first. It comes with subtlety. So he knows that if it comes like Satan, you're going to say, no, I rebuke you. So his job is to give you open doors that lead to rooms away from your destiny. So if you're not careful, you're even thanking God. Pastor, you cannot imagine it. This guy just came from nowhere. My brother, what a miracle spouse. And me too, in my ignorance, I'll say, Father, we thank you. But something was pricking you out that, is that what God told you? What did you and God discuss by January? What did he say he wanted to do with you this year? Did he say that Canada or Bulgaria or Belgium or UK? He said, hey, but this was coming. Say, when God is sending you to Nineveh, you would find in the bus stop of Nineveh, you will find ships going to Tarshish. Ships going to Tarshish. There are ships that are designed to take you away from destiny. One of those ships is relationships. Taking people from Nineveh to Tarshish. Do you know another ship like that? Scholarships. Someone is thinking, hey, have I not entered scholarship like this? What other ship do we have? Citizens. Which one again? Sponsor. Which one again? Eh? Partner. Ah, you guys are very good. You already know it. Partnerships. Partnerships. Tarshish, going, Tarshish, going, going, Tarshish, one more chance. Say, don't miss this opportunity. Don't miss this opportunity. So Satan's greatest weapon is to attack you with opportunities that have no bearing with your calling. What's the example?
So that servant came,
yes,
and showed the Lord this thing.
Yes.
Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant,
yes,
go out quickly into the streets.
Go out to the streets
and lanes of the city.
Yes.
And bring in hither the poor.
Yes.
And the maimed.
Yes.
And the halt.
Yes.
And the blind.
Yes.
And the servant said,
yes,
Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and
yes,
yet there is room.
He said, there's room in my house. After bringing all those guys, there's still room. What does he say next? Help me.
And the Lord said unto the servant,
what should you do?
Go out into the highways and hedges.
Go to the edges.
And
go to the highways.
Them.
Go to the bridge and compel. What's the meaning of compel? Force them to come. Compel them to come. Like Jude said, you say we are snatching them from the flames of fire. Compel. Compel. You must come. You must. Oh, no, you must come. If you are a fireman and you enter a place that is burning with fire and you saw little children there and say, what are you doing? He says, no, we're just here to cool off. You are not going to say, okay, when anytime you have chance, anytime you feel free, you can come outside. You snatch them. And let me show you that scripture. It's in the book of Jude. Jude has just one chapter. You snatch them from the flames. It's not in my notes this evening. I think it's Jude 23. Someone should help me. Jude 23, I suppose. What does Jude verse 23 say? Verse what? I got it, Abby. What does it say?
And others saved with fear.
Yes.
Pulling them out of the fire.
Pulling them out of the fire.
Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh.
Pulling them out of the fire. This place is going into fire. Pull them out. There's no room for, okay, when you are free. There's a persistence. We call it anakasu. You compel. This is your friend. This your friend is going to hell. You have to give your life to Christ. When on campus one day, students, you know how students are back from Alo University. When you enter university in those days, you don't know when you're coming out. They say this your course is 5 years plus X, in which X can be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, depending on circumstances of you. See, when you come to school, in our school, the motto of our school is for culture and learning. They say you don't come and you cannot be in a rush. There's so much to learn. Say don't come to AU and you're in a rush. So you can study a course for 7 years. So in those days like that, the students are going to carry the EVC. They will carry the VC from his office. They went to carry the VC's wife with wheelbarrow from the VC lodge, and we're bringing her to hostel. Terrible. You hear what students are capable of doing? Are we all children? Because this must be, are they beasts? So they went and they bundled Rogers Makojola is our visit. They bundled him from his office. And I saw from Covered Pavilion how they were dragging him. At the point, they broke his glasses. He said, cannot see. He said, don't worry, you don't have to see. We'll tell you how to go. We say left, turn left. These are students. Terrible. Terrible students. As I stood in Covered Pavilion like this, I said, God, when will I leave this university? Because I knew that my education is on the line. The mobile police started coming to school. It was normal in those schools. Students would have blocked the gate. They can't even be cooking beans in front of the gate. They will break the school. They will be shooting. Wow. Yes, bullets shooting. Everybody. We are packing your load, packing your bag, packing. Oh God. We are going home. We don't even know when we are going to come back. Just go first. So we're packing. We're hearing gunshots. One boy called his father. See, daddy, ha. My police have entered the school. They have shot somebody, they have killed people, they have made people. You know, so the father said, he held the phone like this. Can you hear? That's gunshot to people who have died. Some people, father said, so where are you? You know, but it's funny, so what are you doing here? Where are you? The guy said, yeah, he's sitting on campus. Father said, so when are you coming up? He said, he still want to do one or two things. The father said, you see, this is my eyes that I closed. What do you think about dating? Dating back feeling. Could need doubt for you, but one or two things to mess here. It will not be well with you. What one or two things are you doing? One or two things? Fabi, you don't even know. They are killing me, say you doing one or two things there. You don't wait for them to leave when they have chance. It says compel them to come. So you must give your life to Jesus. Like that guy I saw in South Africa. You must give your life to Jesus. You must be saved. You must give your life to Jesus. So anakaso is that compelling, to compel, persuading. In Matthew 11 verse 12, Matthew 11 verse 12. Another close word to anakazo. Please write down A-N-A-G-K-A-Z-O. A-N-A-G-K-A-Z-O. Another word close to is biazo. B-I-A-Z-O. Biazo. Matthew chapter 11 verse 12. What does it say? Matthew 11 verse 12.
And from the days of John the Baptist.
Yes.
Until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence.
Yes.
And the violent take it by
the
force.
The violent. The kingdom goes also by force. There's some subtle force that no, this guy is your friend. A lot of people are forceful about many things. People are forceful about their products. People can force you to buy belts. You go to Wholesale Market, they can force you to buy crutches. They can say that, bros, you need it. I'm telling you, this one, say, it's not my size, it's your size. Somebody gave me, I say, this is not my size. He say, nobody will tell you. Wear it first. You go say, you see one passing, my God. That's it, they just burn you with this. They're all together. Say, now you, no, just they go like that. I don't need it. People can force you to buy their perfume. People actually can be forceful when it has to do with their business. But then they become subtle and become soft when it comes to the matter of gospel. He says the kingdom is suffering violence and they take it by force. By force. I go out on prospecting. The person does not do this, you say, what about this? What about this? What about that? Okay, if you don't want it, what about that? You are looking for every way to ensure that the person does not go without his money dropping into your pockets. That's what you are doing. Someone say, yes, sir. Because the person agrees. So that's the same importunity that you bring into this. So you must be saved. Use every skill that you have. Use every channel that you have. Some of us have marriage channels. Use your marriage channel. Use your friendship channel. You have business channels. You use it. It says the kingdom of God suffered violence and the violence. So if you are forceful, I've seen people, they can post 200 things of their products on their status. Online shoe, belts, even though they have never seen that shoe before. They gather pictures and they cover their status with it. You open their status, there's belt. They don't have shop. It is when you tell them that you want. They quickly called people and they don't have those things. But they gather picture and they are forceful. Monday morning, they begin to pray. My hands increase upon my hands. Speed on my feet. Oil on my hair. This week, I enter this week. You are my customer. You must see me. You know, they do all that. They are passionate about it because there's a gain for them there. But they don't know that saving souls, there's a gain for you there. Eternal gain for you there. So you can do all that. You know, there are a lot of business people in our church, so they can relate what I'm saying. On Monday morning, say this week, you have to be what? Okay, this is a video I saw. What was that guy? You have to be wise. This week, you have to be wise. So everybody, they are telling everybody. They cannot miss it. In the days of MMM, La Kuli. You know MMM? MMM. Jay, did you know MMM? You didn't know MMM? You don't know MMM? Ah, no. Who did MMM? Let me see hands. Who brought 10 people to MMM? You did MMM? Eh? That's how I pay law school. People brought people MMM. Two. You have to bring two people. Just to say, EPA, my EPA. What do you call it? I think it's EPA. Guiders. So some people, they get to a level, they become guiders. Two people say, you're EPA. You collect, how much? I think it's 30% of investment or I don't know. People were telling everybody about MMM. I'm surprised you didn't know about MMM. You didn't do it. It's just everywhere. Forceful. They'll come, you must do it. You must do it. So there's nobody here that does not know how to compare people to do something. There's nobody here. Some of us, ordinary, that somebody say wants to help you to get visa. You don't let him rest again. Because he has promised you something. So Biazo is very close to Anagaso, is to persuade forcefully. Forcefully. Another word is an idea. A-N-A-I-D-E-I-A. A-N-A, I don't know how to pronounce it properly. It's a Greek word. A-N-A-I-D-E-I-A. A-N-A. A-N-A. What is it? Someone is trying to help me pronounce it. An idea. And that means shameless. Shameless. No shame. In Luke chapter 11 verse 8. Help me, praise. Peace. Luke chapter 11 verse 8.
I say unto you.
Wait, let's start from verse 6. Verse 5.
Okay. And he said unto them,
yeah.
Which of you shall have a friend,
mm-hmm.
and shall go unto him at midnight,
mm-hmm.
and say unto him,
mm-hmm.
friend, lend me three loaves.
Lend me three loaves.
Borrow for a friend of mine.
Borrow me three loaves of bread in the middle of the night, yes?
For a friend of mine in his journey
mm-hmm.
is come to me,
mm-hmm.
and I have nothing to set before him.
Mm-hmm.
And he from within shall mm-hmm. answer and say, trouble me not.
Yes.
The door is now shut.
Yes.
And my children are with me in bed.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot rise and give thee.
Mm-hmm.
I say unto you, though he will not rise and
though give him. Though he will not rise and give him.
Because he is his friend.
He will not give him because he is his friend. Yes.
Yet because of his
importunity. So if you look at the word, who has NLT for that verse 8? NLT for verse 8.
But I tell you this.
Yes.
Though he won't do it for friendship's sake.
Yes.
If you keep knocking long enough.
Yes.
He will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence.
Shameless. Shameless persistence. Even though you're his friend. Have you seen people like that? I was in Lagos. You know, Abuja beggars, they beg with style. Lagos beggars don't beg like that. If Lagos beggar come and meet you, they knock at your windscreen. Good morning, sir. You know, when Abuja is begging, they might beg in a way that you can look away as if you guys have plenty. Maybe there's a cab or a bus. You can just look away as if you're not the one. Lagos beggar will tap you. Say, bros, I'm talking to you. I'm telling you the truth. Good morning. I'm a human being. After all, I'm talking to you. I'm telling you the truth. Human being to human being. I have need. You cannot beg me in a way that you will not know that he's always begging. In fact, my brother said there was a guy who was begging him for something. He didn't give the guy. After the guy has tried, he didn't give the guy. The guy now sat at a distance. So another guy was selling handkerchief. And the guy had one hand. So he said, this guy that has one hand. And he's still selling handkerchief. So I think he bought the handkerchief from him. And I said, keep the change. No, out of his money. So the other guy. Now, so in that case, but I was the one that first came here to ask you, and you said you didn't have. Now you gave it to him. Is he home? Shameless. Have you met shameless people in your life before? People that don't know body language. They borrow your bra. They borrow your pants. Shameless. Shameless. You even think that maybe if you use your body to talk to them, you show them as if you know, they will understand. They will understand. Shameless. Shameless. You see them come, you take that corner, they go after you. You know, you are already tired of this relationship. You are tired of this friendship. Can we just end it all? They will beg you shamelessly until you be forced to say, I'm not giving. Even at that, they will still beg you. And so the Bible says, you will not give him because he's your friend. You will give him because of his shameless persistence. Compel them to come. He will snatch them from the flames of fire. Why are we shameless like this? Number one. Why is this important? Number one, life is becoming more hectic and people are becoming more busy. And having a lot of excuses becomes important to have such a shameless approach to it. Life is becoming more hectic. People have ready excuses. I can't be in church, I have to be this way. I can't be in church, I have to be that. I can't be in church, I can't say God, I have to be this. So it's time to be shameless and to be forceful about it. Forceful about it. Some of us, to invite our friends to church, you have to be shameless. You know, if you invite people to church, like that woman says, come and see the man. She didn't preach to them. Say, come and see the man who told me everything. Samaritan woman, John chapter 4 that I said about last week. Come and see the man. So some of us, it starts inviting our friends to church. You must follow me to church. Some people have joined this church because their friends didn't allow them to rest. How many of you came to this church because somebody forced you? Eh? See them. Look around. That's why you're in this church. Somebody didn't let you rest. Who did that to you? Shame. Every day, come to our church. Come, say. You just come first. You too. Just come. And that's what I mean. Just come. If you come, just once. Just go. Say, I don't have time for that. Say, no, please. No, we're having this today. We're having that tomorrow. Come. So somebody has forcefully brought you now. You, who have you forcefully brought? You are like a Dead Sea. It ends with me. This ends with me. It's like a general course. The circle ends here. That's why I've not brought anybody. But look at you, basking in the glory of God. Who will you bring? People are getting busy. Go out. Everybody's forming busy. Everybody's forming. I don't have time. And they're from there going to hell. From this, the office, they're going straight to hell. I'm telling you the truth. You know, I was teasing my wife this evening. When we're trying to pick our clothes for her to wear this evening. I said, this clothes is too fine, you know, for Sunday. I said, wait, what will happen? Because Antichrist, they will wear everything. All these clothes will be kept. Just picture Antichrist in them. That clothes you kept, this clothes, one special event is coming. It's Antichrist that waits. Some of you, your perfume, they will press it. Antichrist, somebody bought the perfume. This perfume is $250. I will not use it. Antichrist will press it. they pray everywhere. Just picture Antichrist pressing it. So that's what I say. Ah, no, Antichrist cannot wear my clothes. Antichrist is checking people's cupboard everywhere. All right? People are very busy, forming busy, and they are going to hell from there. So we must be importunate. Come to church. Come first. Come. You are in their DMs every time. When you want them to sell them perfume, you are in their DM every day. Now, that their life will be saved, so that they won't go to hell. That even though they have used your perfume, they are burning, and they are, the smoke that is coming out of there is smoke of fire. Your perfume will not be able to save them from that hell. Now, you have sold perfume to them, you cannot sell salvation to them. Ah, it's not fair. It's not fair. You are selling something to someone that knows this person is going to end up in hell. You are selling something to the person. You know that this person is going to end up in hell. And you are selling something to that person. Bring them to God. He says, compel them to come. That my house may be full. There's no reason why a church should be empty. Compel them to come. Go out to the edges, to the streets, street corners. Come to Jesus. Now, we don't even have to, go because they're on your phones. Right there on your phones. If you check your phones now, even if you cannot preach and say, I serve Jesus, bring them to the person that will say, me, I will preach them. I serve Jesus that day when they come. You can even intimate, say, Pastor, I'm bringing four of my friends today. Please, they must be saved today. Whatever, if you tell me that kind of thing, I'm going to Because there's somebody, whose life is on the line. Say, Pastor, I'm bringing five of my friends. They must be saved, though. They are not saved. They must be saved. Me, I cannot preach to them. You know, you are the one that can preach. But I've brought them. They must be saved. So right there on this, in the congregation, YouTube, you are praying for them. When I make altar call, when they stand up, you stand up with them. And you bring them forward. Because it's a joy to you that you have brought your friends to Jesus. Number one reason that the world is getting busier and busier. Number two, we need to influence people outside. We cannot keep to ourselves in our churches. We have to go outside of our usual circle of friends and bring in people. He says, go to the edges. Go to the street corners. Influence people outside the church. Number three, we have to create side doors. I call them side doors. Like all the things we are doing, picnic, this one, that one. All those outreach we are doing, we must dovetail them towards salvation. I don't have a problem with all those picnics and all these things. They are amazing things. There are people that will never follow Jesus, but they'll follow food. So you put food like this. Look, that's what Satan does. Have you ever seen Satan? All the people that used to drink alcohol, they are real customers. They're in the gutter. The real customer, the real loyal customer to stout, they're in the gutter. Gutter? They are in booby, out of accident, while drinking and driving. But have you ever seen them show those people? Somebody's vomiting after drinking. One guy, when I was serving as a copper, he's on the floor. He was coming from office. He slept on the road till daybreak. We even thought he was dead. When we saw him, we know Nigeria police. They come, they will ram down everybody first. So I ran off to the other side before his family members came, and they were trying to carry him. He was dead drunk. They put him on the bike. He fell down. Big. He fell down so strongly that you'd have thought that he should wake up. He snored on. I said, I will not drink this thing. Bible says wine is a mocker. I'm telling you. The real customer of all these people, they are in the gutters. Their marriages are broken. People have lost their marriages, lost their children because of this thing. But do you see Buddha show those people? Never. Who they show? Just show one guy. Come down from a beer. Life is good. He's a Guinness, extra style, legend, hero, trophy. Yeah. The real trophies are in the gutter. But they don't show them. Real trophies languish in the hands of loose girls in beer parlors everywhere. They collect all their money and all their phones because they are drunk. They left their family, left their homes, left their children, and they are piling away. But Satan shows something else and lures them into darkness. So, if somebody likes food and likes picnic, organize picnic for him. Jesus. You can't eat my food and go to hell. People People used to poison food now. You eat and die. This one you eat and leave. You come and eat our picnic, you are going from there to heaven. You make it in Jesus' name. You are saved. Straight. So all those things that we are doing, we must do them with that mindset. I call them side doors. The front door is crusade. Come to the window of the spirit. Those are front doors. Church front doors. It's church. But those other side doors are critical. This one, jazz night. This one, concert. This one, some hangouts. All those things are beautiful. Invite friends. All those tribes that you're doing. Don't make it your tribe members alone. Bring you from the people that live in the tribe. And subtly put in Jesus. Put in Jesus. Because people will be so busy, they won't go to church, but they can go for picnic. I'm telling you. People go for parties. You'll be shocked if you say, in Lagos, you block an entire street. They block, if you come and meet them, this is the street, so where do you want me to bury my mother? So where do you see us? Where are we going? They put canopy everywhere. They block, who have reached Lagos for? They block, even Google Map will tell you, don't pass there, there's party going on there. They block an entire street. People are dancing and dancing. They are like that. Nigerians are like that. Go to UK, see them like that. Particularly Yoruba, my tribe. They are sharing paka in UK. With sticker, I was there. They share paka. Paka, you know paka? In UK. Everywhere like that. People have, they can have fun. So look for a way to bring it in. Say, Jesus, this thing we're organizing, people must come to Jesus. So it's a serious matter. If you love people, you will bring them to Jesus. If you love people, saved people save other people. Found people find other people. If you have been found, find someone else. When Peter was found, he says, go and find your brother. He went and called his brother. Have you seen the Savior? I've seen him. Everyone should call somebody. Everybody. So by necessity, everyone in this church must be able to call somebody to church. This one, say, come to church. Come to church. Come to church first. Have I ever lied to you before? Have I ever done? If I've done bad things, can I use that kind of line? No. But have I ever said no? Yeah. Trust me, say. Come to Jesus. Say, okay, that's your church. There are people in this church, I'm telling you. Say, okay, out of impulse. There are people in this church that it was husband they were looking for. When they came. I'm telling you. Say, come. The feast is ready. Is that what it is? All things are ready, including husband. So they came and Jesus Christ caught them. Now, Jesus is their husband. Yeah. He's the groom. They are the blind. Glory to God. They are the blind. Amen. There's an urgency in this task. Make up your mind that nobody that you know will go to hell. Nobody that you know one-on-one. I have friends that are Muslims. And I'm going to teach you how to minister to Muslims. Our friends are Muslims. I love them. And like I said 2 weeks ago, people don't hate Jesus. They hate Christians. Please. There's an urgency to this task. Tonight, look through your phone. Who can come to Jesus this Sunday? Who is due for salvation? Who is due for salvation? There are friends that have left Jesus. You know them. They used to be saved. They used to be on fire for God when you were in secondary school. Now, they have turned to something else. As I was praying tonight, there's somebody that God mentioned to me immediately. God mentioned that person to me as I was worshiping this night here. And tonight, as I'm leaving church now, I'm going to message that person. As I was worshiping, God says, it's time. The harvest is now. Speak to him now. So when God says that means God has already put everything in place. When you speak at that time, boom. It works. So check your phone. There must be somebody that is due for salvation. There must be somebody that needs to be saved. Somebody that needs to come back to Jesus or come to Jesus for the first time. All right, I'm going to lead you to pray. Ask the Lord this night. Say, Lord, give me passion for the lost. Give me passion for the lost. Give me passion. Give me passion for the lost. I need to pray with all your heart. If you know that there's nothing, you know sincerely in your heart, there's nothing beating for the lost in this heart. It's as cold as death itself. You don't feel anything for the unsaved. You don't feel anything for the lost. You don't feel anything. Sincerely, you know. You have been hearing this sermon, but you know your heart. You don't feel anything for these guys. You don't feel anything. Ask the Lord. And if you feel, you want to say, Lord, increase my passion for the lost. Increase my passion. Give me a heart that burns to see men saved. Give me a heart. I want you to pray. Pray sincerely. Somebody's life is dependent on these prayers tonight. Somebody's soul, somebody's eternity is dependent on these prayers tonight. Pray and say, Lord, give me a passion. Give me a burden for the lost. Give me, Lord, a burden to see men saved. Give me, Lord, a burden to see men drawn to you. Please pray. Please pray. Ka babo zubra delebra di kasha delebrataya. Rekabarada bakashaya. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice. There's a stirring in your heart tonight. A stirring in your heart tonight. All your friends, your colleagues, your folks, your family members who have walked away from the Father or who are not with Him. Ask the Lord. Let there be a burning passion. You forget how you're going to do it. God's going to do it for you. It's going to put a fire in your heart. It's going to call. Don't bother how the fire will burn. You just have fire. Just have fire. Don't worry about how it will burn. It's not your business of how a fire will burn. You just have the fire. Have the fire. See God steering the fire in your heart to see men saved. Who are your friends that need to be saved? You know them, but you don't feel anything for them. You don't feel, honestly, you don't feel anything for them. Ask the Lord to help your heart. Say, help my heart. Ah, he says, I will give you a heart of flesh. I will take the heart of stone from off your body and give you a heart of flesh. A heart that pants for men. Ah, when this thing comes on you, you would see men and you would want to go all out for them. You will see women who are not saved and something will keep burning. Paul says, my heart is stirred when I see the whole city giving to idols. My heart was stirred. My heart was stirred. My heart was stirred. Maka, skapa, prade, kata, shata, ekta, bamba, mamba, mambo, mangla, kate, embra, kali, kaba, jara, ekta, baradosia. Help me, Lord. Put a fire in my heart. Let it burn to see men saved. Let it burn. Let me not be able to walk past or walk away from an opportunity to see people come to Jesus. When I sit in the bus, I'm thinking about souls. When I sit in the plane, I'm thinking about souls. When I sit in my class, I'm thinking about souls. When I sit in my office, I'm thinking about souls. That man will be saved. 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 Men and women will be saved. Men and women will be saved. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him, there's no other. Jesus. Jesus is the
Thank you for listening to this message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SLChurchNG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church.